Hey, welcome to George Washington Coaching. I'm Kevin Craig, and if you believe that America is headed in the wrong direction and you're powerless to do anything about it, you're in the right place. If you have some personal problems you're wanting to overcome, or you have some goals or dreams or aspirations that you'd like to achieve, you're in the right place. If you complete the assignments in the George Washington Coaching Program, you will experience the most extraordinary personal transformation of your entire life, or we will not only refund 100% of your enrollment fee, we will give you double your money back. Now, how can we be so confident that this program is going to have such an effect on you? The answer, this program has been laboratory tested on over 100,000 people. In fact, it's been laboratory tested on over a million, millions of people, and the laboratory is called the United States of America. 200 years ago, America followed the advice of George Washington, and America was the most prosperous and the most admired nation in the world. But then the federal government decided it no longer wanted to follow Washington's advice. It no longer wanted to acknowledge the divine being that George Washington called the Lord and Ruler of Nations. And George Washington's advice was banned, whereas public schools used to follow George Washington's advice. Public schools are now prohibited from doing so. And as a result, America, once a city upon a hill, once the most prosperous and most admired nation in the world, is now in a state of bankruptcy, perilous economic conditions, and Americans are ridiculed and even despised around the world. Proving that when we follow George Washington's advice, we win, and when we neglect it, we lose. Now, if you were searching using Google or some other search device for a life coach and you came across George Washington Coaching, I have to warn you that this coaching program is not like any other coaching program you'll find out there. Most coaches today believe that you have all the answers inside you, and all you need to do is get in touch with your feelings, or look inside yourself, or other slogans, and you'll find the answers to your problems. We take the philosophy of legendary football coach Vince Lombardi. When Lombardi first took over the Green Bay Packers, the Packers were, well, they were losers. They had successive losing seasons. Lombardi said, we need to start over. And so he went before the Green Bay Packers, a room of professional NFL football veterans who had been spending their entire lives playing professional football. He held up a football and he said, gentlemen, this is a football, as if they didn't know. The point being made is that Lombardi said, we need to get back to the basics. We need to start over. We need to build on the fundamentals of the game. We need to build a rock-solid foundation on those fundamentals. And the way to become a championship team is not by throwing up the end-of-the-clock Hail Mary pass, but by consistently executing disciplined progress toward the goal. So whether your goal is solving a personal problem or achieving some kind of vision or dream, once you lay a solid foundation and master the basics, your personal coach can help you overcome the biggest problems, achieve the most extraordinary goals in all the most important areas of your life. But it means following the playbook, following George Washington's playbook. In fact, if George Washington could travel through time, he would say two things about you. Number one, you are a victim of educational malpractice. You've never read the playbook. You don't even know the rules of the game. If you feel like you're having problems or you feel like you want to succeed in some area of your life, you're not even asking the right questions. You can't succeed without knowing the fundamentals. And that's why education is primary here at George Washington Coaching. And it is our contention that, frankly, you have to go back to school, and you have to become a lifelong learner. Second, even though, as I'm going to show, you were completely cheated of a decent American education, the internet makes it possible for you to compensate for this in just 1 year. What took the average colonial teenager 12 years to learn in the one-room schoolhouse, in just 1 year you can recreate on the internet. And that's what the George Washington Coaching Program does. We don't teach you reading, writing, arithmetic, spelling, factoids of geography and history, dates and names and so forth. Strip all that away, and what the public school classroom in America taught 200 years ago was a biblical worldview, a way of looking at the world that virtually guaranteed success, because it was, as the Declaration of Independence says, if you follow the laws of nature and of nature's God, then you can have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Washington said we ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. Blackstone, the great jurist, said that the laws of nature and of nature's God can only be found in the Holy Scriptures. When the United States Supreme Court banned the reading of the Bible in public schools, one of the justices, William O. Douglas, a star, an icon of the Supreme Court justices, admitted that the primary purpose of public schools at the time the Constitution was written was not to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. That was just a means to an end. The primary purpose of public schools was to teach the Bible in order to teach the Christian religion and Christian morality. And there's a mountain of evidence to prove that Justice Douglas was correct. Nevertheless, Douglas felt that he was a secularist. He wanted to get the Bible out of the classroom. It didn't matter to him what America's founding fathers actually provided. So George Washington, as your coach, would tell you, you need to learn the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. The way to do that is, over the course of the next year, over the course of the next 365 days, read five of the most important, the most significant, the most influential works in the history of Western civilization, and certainly the most important works in the history of America. The first book is the Bible. Christians believe the Bible is the Word of God, and certainly the most important book a Christian could read. And a Christian should read the book at least once a year. But even if you're not a Christian, you should still be impressed by the fact that the Bible is the most influential book in the history of the human race. No other book has had more books written about it. No other book has moved more money and more people in more different directions to accomplish more purposes than the Bible. But most Americans today are completely oblivious to how significant the Bible has been in human history. Most people today believe the Bible is sort of like the telephone game, where you whisper a message to the person next to you, and by the time it gets around to the end of the circle, it's completely different from what it was when it started out. That is very, very far from what the Bible is really like. In 1947, when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, they discovered that the Bible has remained unchanged for the last 2,000 years at least, and there is absolutely no rational basis for believing that the Bible has changed as it's been recopied, retranslated, or whatever. It has the most remarkable past and the most remarkable content of any book in the history of the human race. It is the quintessential human document as it has been composed and edited and assembled and transmitted and preserved over centuries, over millennia. And the accurate preservation and transmission of the Bible would be astonishing enough, even if the great empires of the world had not frequently made it a death penalty offense to even be in possession of the Bible. It's an astonishing book, and everyone should give some due regard to it. And you really need to decide whether you're going to listen to a bunch of snarky adolescents on the internet harp about the Bible, or if you're going to listen to serious scholars over the last 2,000 years of Western civilization. Okay, that's my 30-second pitch for the Bible. I'd like to say a lot more about the Bible to persuade you to spend the next 365 days studying it every day. All I've said so far is, gentlemen, this is a Bible. Now, it's a long road from Vince Lombardi telling the Green Bay Packers, gentlemen, this is a football, to the losing Packers becoming a championship team and winning the Super Bowl ring. And it's a long road from what I've just said about the Bible to you experiencing the most extraordinary personal transformation of your entire life. I'm hoping you'll join me on that road. I guarantee the results. Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about the Bible in this course. The second book is the book that fulfills George Washington's prescription to the Delaware Indians. When their chiefs came to Washington and said, "We're tired of living in poverty and superstition. We want to become more like you Americans." Washington gave them some advice. Here's what he said on a speech given on May 12, 1779 to the Delaware Indian chiefs. He said, "You do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention." The religion of Jesus Christ, where is that found? The second most popular book in the American colonies in 1776 behind the Bible was known as the Shorter Catechism. It was a catechism that was produced in Westminster, England in the 1640s. It was in every schoolroom in America. When the population in the colonies was only 3 or 4 million people, there were 4 or 5 million copies of the Shorter Catechism in textbooks and in homes and everywhere. In some cities, in some states, town council sent out representatives, officers, to check to make sure that the children in every home were memorizing the catechism. It was the most universally recognized statement of the Christian faith in the American colonies. That's the second book that we'll read together when you join the George Washington Coaching Program. The catechism was written for children. It's important to realize that the average teenager in 1776 knew more about the Christian religion than the average adult in our day today. Really, the average child in 1776 knew more about the Christian religion than the average adult today. The third book is on how the invisible hand of divine providence works in our world. In 1776, the same year as the Declaration of Independence, a man named Adam Smith wrote a book called An Inquiry into the Wealth of Nations, asking the question, why is it that some nations are prosperous and other nations are in poverty? It is acknowledged today to be something of the first treatise on capitalism, or the free enterprise system, the effects of freedom, liberty, and personal responsibility as opposed to a government-managed economy. And the conclusion is that a government-managed economy leads to poverty, whereas freedom and personal responsibility lead to prosperity. So we'll study the eternal rules of order and right as they are applied to politics and economics. We're going to take these principles farther than Adam Smith took them, and instead of reading Adam Smith's 1776 book on capitalism, we'll read a modern defense of capitalism and note that today's defenders of laissez-faire capitalism base their defense of capitalism on a non-aggression principle. They define capitalism as a social system based on the rejection of the initiation of force or violence against others. And again, I want to say that you will experience an extraordinary degree of personal transformation from considering the way the world works when we trust the invisible hand of divine providence rather than the iron fist of government. And it will have a profound impact on your life. And if it doesn't, you can ask for your money back. Now, everything we've said so far runs counter to the prevailing mythology of the modern idea of the separation of church and state. That's why the fourth work we're going to study in our education program is a work which exposes the myth of the modern idea of the separation of church and state, which really has nothing to do with churches. It's the separation of God and government. And a government that will not be under God is a government that thinks it is God. The separation of church and state, as we've been taught it in the last 50 years and as it has been seen in America's secular public schools, is very much a myth. A dangerous myth. Because of this myth, public school teachers are now prohibited from teaching public school students that the Declaration of Independence is really true. Now, you can teach that a bunch of dead white males used to believe it was true, and the underlying implication there is, and we're much more sophisticated than they are, than they were. But you can't get up in a public school classroom as an employee of the government and teach students that the propositions found in the Declaration of Independence are actually true, that there is such a thing as revealed morality, absolute standards of morality, the laws of nature and of nature's God, that we will answer for our conduct to these laws by the supreme judge of the world, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. You can't teach creationism in schools. You can't even teach intelligent design in public schools. And as we've already talked about, you can't teach students that if they conform their lives to the eternal rules of right and order, which heaven itself has ordained, that they can have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. And of course, you certainly can't teach students in a government-run school that if the government ever becomes a tyranny, that they have the right to abolish it. In fact, the Declaration says they have a duty to abolish it. Now, Samuel Adams and John Hancock, the Sons of Liberty in Massachusetts, orchestrated a Boston Tea Party protesting a tax on tea of 3 pence per pound. Today, we pay 10 times that amount of tax on every gallon of gas. Ben Franklin said the reason the British thought they could get away with this tax on the tea was because the Americans only drank 10 pounds of tea a year. And what's 3 pence per pound? We use a lot more than 10 gallons of gas a year, yet we say nothing, even though we pay 10 to 20, maybe 30 times more in taxes than they did in 1776 to a government that is far less representative and a government whose moral character would horrify America's founding fathers. America's founding fathers would say, we live under a mega tyranny, a tyranny 1,000 times more tyrannical than the government that America's founding fathers overthrew in 1776. Is it really possible to reverse course? Isn't it too late to make America once again the most prosperous and most admired nation in the world? Isn't it too late to restore America's original Christian character? And it may be that it is too late for America, but it's not too late for the world. When the angels announced the message of Christmas to the shepherds on that first Christmas, the message was peace on earth. Not just peace in America, but peace on earth. And right now, nations like communist China are more rapidly adopting capitalism and are seeing great increases in the number of Christians in their country. And peace on earth may not take place in America, but it may start elsewhere. But you and I can still be a part of that shift. Maybe you've seen some of those displays of dominoes where they just push one domino over and then eventually thousands and thousands and waves of dominoes eventually come down. All it takes is for you to change your direction from an upright domino to a falling over domino, falling over on your neighbor, and your neighbor falls against his neighbor, and he falls against her neighbor, and so forth, until, well, it all depends on how this is, turns out, orchestrated by the invisible hand of divine providence. The fifth work we'll look at in our education program is a book that says we have the basis for optimism concerning the possibility of peace on earth. So here's how the program works. First, we ask you to cut out 1 hour a day of the mainstream media. Mainstream media. Maybe you have some idea about that. Here's some suggestions. Forget Rush Limbaugh. Forget the CBS Evening News. Forget Harry Potter. Forget college football. Forget video games. Forget Facebook. Forget pornography. Whatever you're doing from the mainstream media, cut out 1 hour a day and substitute our daily reading program in the five most important works in the history of Western civilization. Every week or so, check in with your personal coach and start working through the problems. Start identifying problems according to the eternal rules of order and right, and start finding solutions. And you will be surprised how easy the solutions come when you get the basics right. Vince Lombardi, again, is our model here. We go back to the basics, we master the fundamentals, and then the championship team is one that makes disciplined progress toward the goal and overcomes the fiercest competition. Second of all, when you cut out the mainstream media, you get a fresh perspective on life. You know that suicide is one of the biggest problems today, especially among kids. It kills more kids than the next 10 or 15, like heart disease, cancer, all these diseases, the next 10 or 15 combined. 200 years ago, you did not have kids committing suicide like you have today. If you will follow George Washington's advice, your problems are different. The problems you think you have, sometimes they're illusions. They reflect the agenda. They reflect the worldview of the mainstream media. They reflect the worldview of the government and big corporations, and they do not reflect the worldview of George Washington, Samuel Adams, John Hancock, the worldview that made America the most prosperous and most admired nation in history, the worldview that can also make you prosperous and admired in the eyes of your family, neighbors, coworkers, associates, friends. We also want you to become an active member in the George Washington Coaching Program Member Forum, where you can start helping others and you can get help from others, because we're going to ask you by the end of the year to mentor at least two other people at work, two other people in your neighborhood, your church, your school, wherever you find yourself. Get at least two people that you can mentor and take through the George Washington Coaching Program, and we will pay you to do this. For every person you enroll, we will pay you. So that if you enroll two people, your cost for the program is not only free, but you start making money. And with each additional person you choose to mentor, with each additional person you choose to enroll in the George Washington Coaching Program, you put money in your pocket. In a sense, everything you need is here on this page, free of charge. All the books you need to read, all the the elements of an American worldview. They're all found on this page. Tons and tons of links to other articles. But it's hard to break habits. It's hard for you to break the habit of wasting your time with the mainstream media. It's hard to get into the habit of substituting a new program. And that's why, in addition to the curriculum, it's good to have a coach, and it's good to be a part of a community of people who are making the same commitment and can help hold you personally accountable to continued progress and a disciplined pursuit of your goals. It's hard for people to admit, to say to yourself, I am a victim of educational malpractice. We like to think that we're number one. 50 years ago, Americans were number one. Our students scored number one on achievement tests compared to the students of other nations. But today, Americans are 27, 33. Dozens of nations are now ahead of Americans on academic achievement. But here's the curious thing. In all of these academic contests, Americans always score number one on self-esteem. In other words, even though we're losers, we think we're number one. So the kids from South Korea, they always score number one or number two, but even though they beat everyone else, their self-esteem score is really low. They say, oh, I'm not worthy, I need to study more, I'm not disciplined enough. Meanwhile, Americans, they're number 27 or 33, and they think they're number one, and they think the whole world owes them everything. So it's going to be tough for you to admit that you are a victim of educational malpractice, so I'd like to prove that to you. I've already discussed the incredible fact that the federal government prohibits public school teachers from teaching students that the Declaration of Independence is really true, that the foundational worldview that made America the most prosperous and most admired nation in history has been banned from public schools, that George Washington's advice cannot be followed in public schools. I'd like to give you several more reasons to prove that you are a victim of educational malpractice. Samuel Adams was known as the father of the American Revolution, and one of the first letters he wrote through a kind of a prototype of the Internet, a network of communication known as the Committees of Correspondence, he said there were three things we as Americans, well, they were still Englishmen back then, the three things that we need to do, and that is to guard our rights as Englishmen. I would say let's talk about ourselves as Americans now. Second, guard our rights as Christians. And third, guard our rights as human beings. And I would like to suggest to you that if Samuel Adams and the rest of America's founding fathers could travel through time, get to know you, get to know your government, look at the society around us, take a visit to our public schools, and see the way you react to your environment, they would say you are not a real American. You are not a genuine Christian, and as a human being, you are a sad steward of the rights and privileges and gifts and talents with which you were endowed by your Creator. They would say you are a victim of educational malpractice. Well, I would say that if you follow the advice of George Washington, the advice of Samuel Adams, actually, the advice of most America's founding fathers, the practice of Americans 200 years ago, you can become an extraordinary American, an extraordinary Christian, and an extraordinary human being. So what I'd like to do is invite you to enroll without cost or obligation, in other words, free, and you don't have to give me your credit card number, for an orientation program to get acquainted with the George Washington Coaching Program. Several months free of charge to experience this daily commitment, cutting out the mainstream media and substituting the program that made America the most prosperous and most admired nation in history. During this time, I'd also like to kind of try to sell you on the year-long 365-day George Washington Coaching Program. I'd like to share with you five things that I think George Washington would say to you if he could travel through time, and discuss in a little bit more detail the five works that we'll be reading during our one-year, 365-day coaching program. We not only give you the assignments, we also give you MP3 audio recordings so that you can listen in your car, listen while you're exercising, listen while you're washing the dishes. We're trying to make this as easy as we can while still recognizing that we are all victims of educational malpractice. And we can't expect victory until we go through our intensive spring training. If you'll scroll down on this webpage, you'll see the table of contents. This is the contents of our free orientation program. The orientation program lasts 95 days. I'll tell you why 95 is our magic number in just a minute. But this program will tell you the five things that you need to know, and I'll outline those in just a minute. the 5 books you need to read, and why this coaching program is the best way to become an extraordinary American, an extraordinary Christian, and an extraordinary human being. What you can do is listen to the audio messages on this webpage that describe the orientation program. And it's possible that just going through the tour of our orientation program that's found on this webpage, you might be convinced and ready to sign up. But we still would like you to go through the orientation program anyway. So it's Scenes from Coming Attractions, plus it's also our sales pitch to help you decide to enroll in the one-year George Washington coaching program. When you're ready to start, all you have to do is put your name and email address in one of the boxes on this page, and the lessons will automatically start arriving in your email box, and everything you need to know will be described to you. If you have any questions, my cell phone number is at the bottom of the page. Just give me a call. We'll talk, make sure this program is right for you, ask any questions you have. I'd love to talk with you. And then if you enroll in the George Washington Coaching Program, you and I will be talking more regularly.